Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to Daf Yutes, 16 lines from the top. If it's easier, instead of counting, simply notice a triangle that appears in the upper part of the page with a Roman numeral number 1 appearing to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Before learning the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of one of the features of our Shas Ozer, the marked Shas that appears on your screen, the cornerstone of our marking system. We have a Nosei Mivneh, a topic heading and structural note combined in the outside margin. You will notice there we feature a triangle and Roman numerals number 1 and 2. The Roman numerals represent Shnei Lishonos de Machloikis Rav Huna Rav Chisda B'Shchita V'Hagroma. The names Rav Huna and Rav Chisda will appear in triangles. And we, as we noted, there are two versions of their machlokas, their controversy, their, we can call it their discussion, that appear in the Gemara. And the topic is Shchita v'Hagroma. Shchita is naturally slaughtering, and slaughtering is designed to cut, when dealing with a cow, the majority of the trachea and esophagus, the kona and veshet. Hagroma is a situation where you are cutting outside of the allowed shechita boundaries. That along the neck, there is an upper and lower boundary. In our recent sugyas, we've been focusing on the upper boundary. We also notice there are a number of different shitas on this topic. One machlokas that we saw was between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi Bribuda. The Rabbanan insisted that the shechita takes place completely in the Tabas HaGadola, the uppermost large ring of the trachea, and at no point should the knife veer above above that Tabas HaGadola. According to Rabbi Yossi Bribuda, it's sufficient if rove of the cutting takes place within the Tabas HaGadola, and if it veers above that after you shechted rove in the Tabas HaGadola, so that would be okay. We also have a note here, Hayim Yesh Lahadgish. Should we emphasize, when looking at a shechita, Mepak Chiyusa, the exiting of the life breath of the animal, Nekudas Harov, the point at which the majority of the cutting takes place, Shehe B'Mokom HaShechita, are we concerned that the point at which the majority is cut, in other words, the 51 or the 50 to 51% cutting takes place at the accepted spot that shechita is considered kosher, oy shehei ruba b'shechita, or are we to emphasize that rove, the majority of the tube, is cut b'shechita, v'afilu im nekudas yitzias achius eino b'mokam ha-shechita, even if the very point, the 51% point, is hit when it's not in the Mokom HaShechita, let us say it's above the Mokom HaShechita, but if in the final picture the rove of the tube within the Shechita boundaries, that would be okay. So these are two factors that we will be looking at as we continue in the Sugya. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Asi, Machlokes, the controversy between Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, b'sheshochat shnei shlish v'higrim shlish. That's a case where 2/3 of the shechita took place within the shechita boundaries, and the final third took place above, or outside the shechita boundaries. the Rabbonan Savri, the Rabbonan will hold Kula Shchita Bo'inon B'Tabas Gedola. We want all of the Shchita to take place within the Tabas Gedola, not above it. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Rubo Kikulo. And Rabbi Yossi will adopt the Shita that the majority is as if the whole thing were done. So that once the majority, in this case 2/3, were done in the Mokum HaShchita, that's good enough. Avol, Higrim Shlish V'Shochat Shnei Shlish. However, if the first third were done outside the Mokum HaShchita, so we'll say with one, the first third we just said is outside the Mokum HaShchita. The second 2/3 were done within the boundaries of Shchita. Divrei HaKoyl Psula. Everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda will agree, that this is unacceptable. Why? The Chinafka Chiyusa, the point at which the life breath leaves the animal, Bo'inon Ruba B'Shchita V'Leka. At what point do we say that the life breath leaves the animal? At the 51% mark. At that point, at the 51% mark, how much was done b'shchita? Well, if 33%, let us say, 33 1/3% were done outside the Mokum HaShchita, that leaves you with approximately 17% left till you get to the leaving of the life breath, which is at the majority point, at the 51% point. But of that 51%, 33% took place improperly, took place above the Mokum HaShchita. So you don't have Ruba B'Shchita at the point that the life breath leaves. Omale Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda responds to Rav Huna and says, "Adarabo, to the contrary, leimomar, why not say ipcho, say the opposite, as follows: machlokes kishehigrim shlish v'shochat shnei shlish, as opposed to what Rav Huna said, this case would be everyone agrees is no good. Why not say that this case of higrim shlish shochat shnei shlish is in fact a machlokes? The Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Sofar." Rabbi Yossi will accept this midi dehavi achatzi kona pogum, paralleling it to the case of a person who approaches an animal whose trachea is 50% cut. Let's say some type of a natural phenomenon happened, and the animal's trachea split open without human intervention, split open 50%. As far as the halacha is concerned, that is not a trefa. A trefa, in the case of a problematic trachea, is only if more than 50% is open. If 50% is open, it's considered a healthy creature as far as the halacha is concerned. So if you come to an animal with 50% of the kona open, and you make a very slight incision, pushing it over the 50% mark, That would be a legitimate shchita, and that itself, the case of chatzi kona pogum, everyone will agree is okay. So in the case that you started off the first third improperly, that first third should be viewed as no worse than a kona, a trachea that already is cut open. So that in the case of Higrim Shlish V'Shochat Shnei Shlish, when you get to the actual cutting of the 51% point, that you will be doing in the Mokum HaShchita. So that would be grounds for saying that Higrim Shlish V'Shochat Shnei Shlish would be okay. And so that would be Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda's position, the Rabbonon, and the Rabbonon who would disagree would say Hosam Mokum Shchita. In the case of Chatzi Kona Pogum, the entire trachea that's split open is within the Shchita boundaries. Hacha, in the case that we presented here, the first third was Lav Mokum Shchita, making this case worse than the case of Chatzi Kona Pogum. So that would be a point of controversy. How to view the first third that was Higrim? Do you view it as a Chatzi Kona Pogum? That Rabbi Yossi Yehuda would say yes, and Rabbanan would say no, that the case of Higrim Shlish, the first Shlish is Higrim, is worse than Chatzi Kona Pogum. Avol Shochad Shnei Shlish V'Higrim Shlish, but if you did the first two thirds properly and only the final third was done improperly, Divriya Kol Kshera, everyone should acknowledge that that's okay. The Hotnan, we have learned already, we have learned in Mishnayos, it says later on Dav Chov Zayin, Rubo Shel Echot Kamohu, one, the majority of a simen of a tube is as if the whole thing is done. That's rubo shel echad kamo, that all that you're expected to do is rov. And if you did to the first two thirds properly, that's more than the majority done properly, and that would be sufficient. Amale Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, in addressing Rav Chisto's observation, says, Man name alon dahu ruba dahasam. Who is to say that the expression rove that we saw in this most recent Tanaic source that we just had in a frame, lav Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda katani la? Who says that that's not in fact the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda alone? Dilma Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda katani la? Maybe it's only his opinion, and you can't say that everyone would agree that in the case of Shochad Shnei Shlish V'Igrim Shlish, everyone would agree it's kosher based on that idea that Rubo Shalechot Kamohu, when in fact that's not, that source is not according to everyone, that's only Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Amale Abaye. Abaye now responds to Rabbi Yosef and says, why are you suggesting that that should be only Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? Otu ko Rubi de Alma Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Katani Lahu. Are you suggesting that wherever you see the expression of rove, the majority, that's only Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? After all, rove is a concept that's rooted in the Torah itself. Why are you suggesting that this is only according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? Amarle, Rav Yosef responds to Abaye. He says, Ana ruba deshchito ko amina. My suggestion that rove, the majority, is only according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that's in the context of slaughtering. Deshamana lehu depliki. We have already seen in the Mishnah that there is a machlokus between the Rabbonan and Rabbi Yosi Yehuda regarding the sufficiency of rove. Is rove really sufficient? So therefore, if I see a source that says rove, majority, is enough, I have reason to suspect that that is only Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Lishno achrino amri law. This is another version that we will see is more of a more lenient nature. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Asi, Machloikes Shehigrim Shlish V'Shochad Shnei Shlish. There is the Machloikes that we have seen between Rabbi Yosi Yehuda and the Chachomim is in this case. Now notice, this very case, and with the markings, the ability to compare Lishonos is made much easier by just find where was Higrim Shlish mentioned beforehand. We saw it in the double underlinings. Of course, we're focusing on Rav Huna. Let's emphasize that. Rav Huna in the first Lashon pointed out that Higrim Shlish Shochad Shnei Shlish, everyone, and we dashed underline there where it said Divrei HaKol. You can skim up and find where it was under Rav Huna's presentation. And here we have the same case of Higrim Shlish Shochad Shnei Shlish, and we dashed underline on our line now the word machlokes. So if you compare these two lishonos, you can see that this is a more lenient approach, where above Higrim Shlishachat Shlish, there was no chance it would be good according to anybody. In this lashon, it has a chance of being acceptable. We'll see, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. So the suggestion in the second lashon, according to Rav Huna, is that where you start off the first third done outside the Shechita boundaries, and the final two thirds within, to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Midi Dehavi Achatzi Kana Pogum, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda will view this case as no different than the case of Chatzi Kona Pogum, where we discussed this, we explained this earlier, where you approach an animal whose trachea was already, before you got involved, was already split open 50%. The Rabbanan will not accept that parallel. Hasam, in the case of Chatzi Kona Pogum, Mokom Shchita. It was split open, but within the area that's appropriate for Shchita. Hacha, the case of the first third being done by Hagroma, Lav Mokom Shchita, it's outside the Shchita boundaries. Avol, Shochad Shnei Shlish V'Higrim Shlish, if the first two-thirds were done in the proper way, or within the proper boundaries, and only the final third was a case where the where he veered above the shita point, the shita boundary, difrei kol ksheira. Everyone will agree it's kosher. By the way, compare this case with the first lashon of Rav Huna. Don't confuse in the first lashon Rav Huna with Rav Chisda. Find where Rav Huna presented the case of Shochat Shnei Shlish, and you'll notice there he presented it as a machlokis. Here it's presented as Divrei HaKol Ksheira. Of course, use the markings. You can use the dashed underlining to find where you see the expression machlokis and where you see the expression Divrei HaKol. And why are we suggesting in this lashon that if the first two-thirds were done within the shechita boundaries, everyone would agree it's kosher? There's a Tanaic source that says rubo shel echad kamohu, that the majority of the simen of the neck organ is sufficient. And here, the first two-thirds that represents the majority was done properly. What happens after that is of no concern. Maskif lo Rav Chisda. Once again, we see Rav Chisda challenging Rav Huna. Man le molanda hu ruba de hasam lav Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda katani la. Who is to say that the source that we just saw, rubo shel kamo, is not authored by Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda alone? Dilma Rabbi Yosi b'Yehuda katani la. Maybe it's only his opinion. But according to the Rabbanan, there is no concept of accepting the mere rove in the realm of shechita. Amarle Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responds to Rav Chisda's suggestion and says, "Atu karubi da alma Rav Yizibiru katani lahu." Wherever you see the word "rove" in sources, are we going to suggest that's only Rav Yizibiru? Amarle. So Rav Chisda responds, "Ana ruba deshchita koamina." When I suggested that this source was only Rav Yizibiru because this is a case of rove within the topic of slaughtering, deshamanu lahu depliki. We have heard them arguing regarding the sufficiency of rove within shechita, where only Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda reflected this idea that rove is sufficient. We go on in the Gemara with new cases of a shechita taking place partially within and partially without the shechita boundaries, and we continue using our double underline marking system in order to make it to one can see the differences between all of the cases presented. In the next two cases, the following cases which are double underlined, we're going to be dividing the shechita into thirds, and we're going to be focusing on what takes place during the middle third. You'll notice that the middle third of these next two cases is dashed underlined. So we now continue. Higrim shlish, v'shochat shlish, v'higrim shlish. He starts off the shechita outside the shechita realm, the boundary. He then veers downwards into the shechita boundary for the middle third. The middle third, it goes from the 33% mark till the 66% mark. In other words, he's going over the 51% point, he's going over that while in the proper place for shechita. Rav Huna Marav says, Kshera. By way of learning the Rashi, as you go through Rashi in this sugya, we want to make a comment now, but we'll not dwell on it, that this presentation has Rav Huna quoting Rav. In the previous section where we had the two Lishonos, Rav Huna was quoting Rav Asi. So the fact that we're quoting different opinions, that Rav Huna is quoting different opinions, will alleviate any possible contradictions that one may want to raise in the different sugyas and different cases. So that's a comment that we're making simply in anticipation of your learning of the sugya with the Rashi, noting that Rav Huna is quoting Rav over here, as opposed to the cases before where Rav Huna was quoting Rav Asi. Also, we're not continuing with our triangle marking, because that triangle marking was used to present the cases above. We had one-third and two-thirds. This is a different presentation, so as to create a sense of distinction between the sugyas, we decided not to continue the triangle marking. So as we continue in the Gemara, we saw a case where Higrim Shlish, Shochat Shlish, Vehigrim Shlish, Rav Huna Marav, says Ksheira. it's acceptable. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says trefa. And now the Gemara explains the shitas. Rav Huna Amar Rav says kshera, ki nafka chiyusa b'shchita kanafka. Here, the emphasis is at the point at which the life breath leaves. The point at which the life breath leaves is within the shechita boundaries in this particular case. In other words, even though more than 50%, or two-thirds, 66% of the shechita here was outside the shechita boundaries, and yet it's kosher according to Rav Huna Amar Rav. And that's because we're focusing not on the quantity of tube cut, but the point at which the life breath leaves. For Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says trefa, because bo'inon ruba b'shechita v'leka. He does put the emphasis on the quantity of tube that's cut. In other words, he is interested in that the majority of the tube is cut within the shechita boundary, and that's lacking over here. And now we flip the case around where the middle third is going to be outside the realm of shechita, as opposed to the case that we just featured. Shochat shlish v'higrim shlish v'shochat shlish. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says kshera. Now, we can point out that this ruling of kshera is consistent with what his ruling was in the immediate preceding case. What does Rav Yehuda Amar Rav emphasize? He emphasizes quantity of tube being cut, and if you want it to be kosher, all that he's interested in is the quantity that the majority of the tube is cut within the shechita boundaries. And here you have two-thirds cut within the shechita boundaries. That's what the term shochat shlish means. Shochat means within the boundaries. The word higrim indicates beyond the boundary. So Rav Yehuda, it's also noteworthy that Rav Yehuda is quoting Rav here as well as he quoted Rav before. Asu shailua l'Rav Huna. This case was presented to Rav Huna. Omar lehu, Rav Huna says on his own, he says trefa. This is as opposed to the cases before where Rav Huna was, with the case before Rav Huna was quoting Rav. Here, Rav Huna is not quoting Rav. Not like Rav Yehuda, who does quote Rav. Rav Huna says on his own, this appears to be trefa. Shoma Rav Yehuda ikpad. Rav Yehuda got wind of Rav Huna's ruling, and he was upset. Omar, and Rav Yehuda reacts. Tarif no machshir, machshana tarif. Whatever I say is treif, he says it's kosher. And when I say something is kosher, like I just said, he says it's treif. Like, what's going on over here? Omar Rav Huna, shapir ko mikbin. Amazing revelation of honesty or of openness and truth, so to speak, even though we're not at the end of the story yet. But look at Rav Huna, how he says, you know, the Rav Yehuda who opposed me, he is correct in opposing me. What a beautiful willingness to acknowledge your opponent's position. He says he's right for opposing me. Chada, on one point, Ihu Shamiele Minei Rav, Vanalo Shmieli. He was quoting Rav. He was basing himself on, we'll call it, a higher authority. I said something on my own. I wasn't quoting Rav over here. The Ode, Ho'ika Ruba B'Shchita. And furthermore, after all, in the case we just featured with Shochat Shlish, Higrim Shlish to Shochat Shlish, the majority of the tube is cut within the Shchita boundaries. Omale Rav Chista. And this, the beautiful interaction between Rabbonan continues. Rav Chista says, hey, you know, Rav Huna, don't back down. Lo tahadirboch. Don't back down from your ruling just now. Because if you back down from your ruling and are willing to accept Rav Yehuda's ruling in this last case, then you're going to lose what you said originally as well. It says, De'im kain hifsadit mafsadis lo lakamaisa. You're going to lose what you originally, what you ruled on the previous case. And the Gemara explains why. Hasam, in the case of Higrim, we'll use the notation in a short form, Higrim, Shochat Higrim. Of course, we're referring to Higrim Shlish, Shochat Shlish, Higrim Shlish. In that case, my taimo ko machshiris. And by the way, in that case, you were quoting Rav. Why was Rav willing to accept that case according to your approach? The chinafka chiyusa, the point at departure of life breath, behechshero konafka, it departed at the point within the shechita boundary. In other words, we're not, in that case, as we mentioned before, we're not looking at the majority of the cutting. We're looking at the very point at which the life breath left. The life breath leaves at the 51% point. At that point, when he was cutting the 50 from the 33 to the 66%, he was doing it within the Mokam Shechita. When you go from 33% to 66%, you're crossing the point at which the life breath leaves. Well, while he was cutting that section of the that amount of the tube, he was within the Shechita boundary. Hochonami, likewise, in the most recent case, which we call Shochat Higrim Shochat, Nami, ki nafka chiyusa, life breath departs in this case, behagroma kanafka, outside the Shechita realm, outside the boundaries of Shechita. And you had good reason for ruling treifa. In other words, if in the first case you ruled kosher because you were focusing on point at which life breath departs, likewise here, focus on point at which life breath departs, and you'll find that you're at the higrim, you're in the higrim form, and hence it should be treifa. Ikla Rav Nachman l'Sura. Rav Nachman visited the town of Sura, Ba'u Minei. They asked of him the following: Shochat shlish, v'higrim shlish, v'shochat shlish, mahu? How do you look at this? How should we rule on this? Amar lahu, Rav Nachman responds and says, Lav hainu de Rebbe Elazar bar Menyumi? Is this not in accordance with Rebbe Elazar's teaching? The Amar Rebbe Elazar bar Menyumi, Shechita ho asuya kemasreik shera. A shechita, and you have to have a good imagination here, and even better, refer to the Sichas Chulin book of illustrations that should be accompanying your entire limud of Maseches Chulin. This is literally a shechita that takes the form of a comb. A comb, if you look at a comb with its teeth and its gaps, you would imagine, we would call it a zigzag. You have the gap, and then you go up to the tooth, and then come down to the gap between the two teeth, and the next tooth you go up and down, up and down. We can call that simply zigzag. And Reb Elazar bar Menyumi says a shechita that's done in a zigzag fashion is kosher. So that doing this, shachat shlish, higrim shlish, shachat shlish, you're starting in the Malkam Shechita, then you're going up, that's higrim, then coming back down. That's the same idea of a zigzaggy shechita. The Gemara, though, rejects this parallel. The Dilma b'mokom shechita. This point of shechita asui kemasrik being kosher, that might be where the entire cutting is done within the shechita boundaries. We are talking about something where you're veering outside the shechita boundaries in the course of this zigzaggy motion. And hence, our case might not be quite kosher like the case of Reb Elazar bar Menyumi. The Gemara says back, but b'mokom shechita ma'ila meimra? If you're going to relegate Reb Elazar bar Menyumi's case of shechita asui kemasrik is within the mokom shechita, that's very obvious. Everyone would know that that's kosher. Of what point would his teaching be necessary? Therefore, if he's teaching something, shechita asui kemasrik is kosher, he must be telling something that has a novel point to it. And that would be accomplished if you say that too was a case of higrim shlish. The Gemara says no. In fact, Reb Elazar bar Menyumi's halacha of asui kemasrik as being kosher is entirely within the Mokom Shechita. And you'll ask, well, what do I have to tell you that for? So ma'u detema? I would have thought, without telling us this, that bo'ino shechita mefura'as. I would have thought that shechita has to be something that's clear and open. In other words, a singular slice, one slice, not a zigzag motion. And in asuya kemasrek, if it's done like the teeth of a comb, veleka, that would be lacking. Komash mamon, that's what I need Reb Elazar bar Menyumi to tell me, to dispel the idea that shechita must be mifuras. That's komash mamon. He's telling us it doesn't have to be mifuras, it doesn't have to be a single open cut, but if it's going to be zigzaggy, it does have to be within the Mokom Shechita. So therefore, Rav Nachman, in attempting to legitimatize or kasher the case of Shechita, Shochat Shlish, Higrim Shlish, Shochat Shlish, based on Rav Elazar bar Menyumi, that's not such a solid basis. Yosef Rabbi Abba Achorei de Rav Kana, the Yosef Rav Kana Kamei de Rav Yehuda, the Yosef Vika'omar. So you have a few Rabbonim together. Rav Abba is sitting behind Rav Kana. Rav Kana is sitting in front of Rav Yehuda. And Rav Kana asks Rabbi Yehuda the following. Shochat shlish v'igrim shlish v'shochat shlish mahu. What are we to say about this? And before we go further in the Gemara, you'll notice that we have numberings 1 through 4. Four cases similar to some of the cases we have dealt with till now. So he asks him about the case of first third b'shchita, middle third b'hagroma, last third again b'shchita. Omalei shchita so k'shera. So Rav Yehuda says it's okay. And by the way, this is Rav Yehuda l'shchita. So here Rav Yehuda is consistent with what we saw reviewed earlier on the bottom of Omid Aleph. He emphasizes amount of tube that's cut, not point of life departure. And in this case, the rove of the tube, two-thirds of the tube were done, b'shchita. Now, case two, higrim shlish v'shochat shlish v'higrim shlish. Mahu, what do you rule about that? Omar Leis, Rav Yehuda says, shchita so psula. Once again, this is consistent with Rav Yehuda beforehand. Here, in this case, the majority of the tube was cut outside the shchita boundary. And Rav Yehuda objected to that. Number three, shochat b'mokim nekev mahu. This is the case of chatzi kana pogum, where the trachea was one half, was 50% split open, 50% was open already before he came to the shchita, before the slaughterer even put his knife in. We must emphasize though that the chatzi kana pogum case here is where the trachea is open, we'll call it, on the outside, in other words facing the point at which he puts his knife in. He's going to be placing his knife into a chatzikona that's already split open. So, Amalei, Rav Yehuda says, shchitasuk shera. That's okay, it's kosher. And that's because when you have a chatzikona pogum, as far as we are concerned, the animal is fully healthy. And my job is to make it rove, in other words, arrange it, we'll say, to have rove cut open through the shchita method. So the chatzi kana pogum, as far as we're concerned, is a non-factor. I make a slight incision. Now the tube is more than half cut open. That's a good shchita. Case four, shochat upoga bo nekev. Here, you started cutting, and before you cut the rove, you reached, let's say, you cut what you thought was 50% of the tube, and lo and behold, you hit a point at which the other 50% was already cut open. This is a case where the cut was on the inside part of the animal, so that when I put the knife in, I put the knife in thinking or appearing to be a regular tube, not realizing that the inside half of the tube was already split open. So in this case, Amalei, Rav Yehuda says, shchitaso psula. This is unacceptable. As far as my cutting is concerned, I cut only 50%. Ozal Rabbi Abba, Omro Kameid Rabbi Lozar. Rabbi Abba, who was seated, he was in this scenario, he was sitting behind Rav Kani, so he heard this. He heard this interchange between Rav Kana and he heard Rav Yehuda's responses. He then went and reported this to Rabbi Elazar. Ozer Rabbi Elazar, Amar Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Elazar reported this to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Lei, my Shna. So it seems that Rabbi Yochanan raised the question, well, what difference does it make in at what point the Chatzi Kana Pogum was? Was it at the beginning of his shchita, or was it something that he hit upon only after he started the shchita, as was in case 4? Omar Lei, so Rabbi Elazar answers, if you're asking me what's the difference, so I'll tell you what the difference is. Amalei shochad b'mokom nekev, where he started cutting where the hole already was, where the split already was. Nasekimi, it's like the case shochad ovei kuchovim v'gomar Yisrael. It's like a case where a Gentile starts the shechita, and the Yisrael finishes it off. Finishes it off, meaning the Yisrael, the Jew, comes and does the second half. In other words, if a goy started the shechita, didn't go over the 50% mark, and a Jew comes along and finishes it off, that's okay. The case four of shochad pogavo nekev, where he started the cutting and then he met upon the hole, nase kemi sheshochad yisrael v'gomar v'kechovim. That is like a case where a Jew started the shechita, not doing more than half, just doing at most half, and a Gentile coming and finishing it off, that would be no good. And these cases of Jew starting, Goy finishing, or Goy starting and Jew finishing are cases that are are subject of a consensus. Everyone agrees. Well, Rabbi Yochanan, upon hearing Rabbi Elazar's hesber, his explanation for the distinction between cases 3 and 4, Kori Ole, Rabbi Yochanan ridiculed his objection, his explanation. And he said, Ovei Kechovim, Ovei Kechovim. In other words, you're using the Ovei Kechovim analogy to explain both of these cases. It's not parallel. You can't parallel the case of the Chatzikon Pogum present on the outside versus the inside, based on the distinction between Gentile starting or Gentile finishing a shechita. Omar Rava, Shapir Kori Ole, Ovei Kechovim, Ovei Kechovim. Rabbi Yochanan's objection to what he heard from Rabbi Elazar is a legitimate objection. And now the Gemara, the Rava, explains why there is lack of parallel. Bishlamo Hosam, I understand very well in the case of the Gentile Jew combined shechita, where the Gentile, let's say the Jew started but didn't finish the job. Midahavi le Yisrael le mishchat ruba, the Jew should have slaughtered rov, the majority, the lo shochat. He approached an animal that had a kona sholem, and he did not shecht rov, he shechted only half. He cut 50%. Ki nafka chiyusa, biyoda de'ovi kechovim konafka. The life breath departed at the hands of the Gentile. And hence, it's not acceptable. Elohocha. But in the case of the chatzi kona pogum, Michti, let's look into this. Mishchat Shochet, the Jew was alone. Was a Jew with a chatzikon apogum. He shechted everything he could have shechted. Mali b'mokoy nekev, mali poga boy nekev. What difference does it make whether he inserted his knife into a pre-existing hole, or he cut and eventually met with the pre-existing hole? He did everything he could have done. And therefore, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, it doesn't matter if the knife was inserted into the area that the hole was, or he met up with the hole after he started cutting. Let us glance at the Rashi for some further explanation. The Rashi will look at is the last narrow line. Bishlamo shochat Yisrael v'gomar v'kechovim psula. That I can understand, where the Jew started, reached only the 50% mark, and the Gentile finished it off. That's unacceptable. Midahavi Yisrael mishchat ruba shoya kona sholim lefonov. The Jew should have done the majority. He had an opportunity to do the majority, because that was a case of the kona being complete. And he did only 50%, and didn't do more, where he could have done more. Philo shachad el chesio. Rashi goes on. Lav midi ovid. Then we view him as having done nothing. The chiyusa, the life breath, the chatsi kono lo nafka, does not depart at chatsi kono. The have le kikono sholem. Therefore, it's viewed as if it's complete. And when the Gentile comes after this Jew who had done only 50%, domi kamad ovid kula, it's as if the Gentile is doing the entire shechita, the chiyusa biyodei nafka, because it's at his hands that the life breath departed. But the case where he started slaughtering, he started cutting, he cut only 50% and then hit upon an open tube, michti. Mishchad shochet kol hanimtzaba. He, the Jew, in the case of his cutting and met up with a nekev, he shechted everything that he could have possibly shechted. Utreifus bechatzikono lo have. And the fact that it was split open already 50% did not make the animal into a treifa. It was a kosher animal as far as we are concerned. V'havyolah tchila kikona shlema. And it's as if it was a complete kona. Vare shochut lefonenu. And as far as the actions done to it, the shechita action was done. Mali b'mokom nekev. What difference does it make if the shechita was done b'mokom nekev, which you agree is kosher? So too, if he started shechting and met up with the mokom nekev, also it should be kosher. As Rashi said, he did everything he could have done. And therefore, there is no parallel between the case of the Chatzi Kona Pogum with the case of the Oivid Kichovim being involved with 50% of the Shechita. As we go on, we encounter a new Mishnah, and our topic heading on the outside margin reads, Hevdelim Bein Shechita Lemelika. Distinctions or differences between the slaughtering process, which is characteristic of all types of slaughtering, whether they be of animals or of birds that one shechts for his own eating purposes, as opposed to the case of malika, which is something that's characteristic of bird slaughtering in the Beis HaMikdash. There, the thumbnail of the Kohen was inserted into the back of the neck of the bird. The spine was cracked or cut with his thumbnail, and after that, the simonim, the neck organ or neck organs of the bird were cut. That's malika. Malika is a legitimate and required process, but with regard to bird sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash alone. The Mishnah. Hashochet min hatzdodim, shechita sekshera. If one slices the animal's neck with a knife from the side of the neck, that's acceptable. Hamolek minatzdod malika subsula. However, the malika process, as we said, the bird sacrificing process done in the Beis HaMikdash, if one were to do that from the side, that's not acceptable. The malika process must be done from the back of the neck where the spine is cut first. If you do a side, a lateral type cutting, you're not going to be cutting the spine first. Hashochet min ha'oref, shechitas psula. If one does a knife slaughtering starting from the back of the neck, that's unacceptable. Hamolek min ha'oref, milikas okshera. One who does malika from the back of the neck, that is acceptable. In other words, that's the right way to do it. Third case, hashochet min ha'tzavor, shechitas okshera. Tzavor is what we call under the neck, the normal way that shechita is done. So that's acceptable. That's the way it's supposed to be done. Hamolek minat tzavor, one who inserts, the Kohen would insert his fingernail, his thumbnail, under the neck of the bird, thereby cutting the neck organs first, that would be unacceptable. That's malikas obsula. Shekol ha'oref kosher malika. The entire oref is acceptable. Oref, we'll see, the Gemara will define that carefully in the opening sukkah. So the entire oref is acceptable from lika. V'chol hatzavor kosher l'shchita. And the entire neck is acceptable for shchita. And this comment is to the, we're saying the neck as opposed to the oref. Nimtze kosher b'shchita posel b'mlika. Kosher b'mlika posel b'shchita. We can conclude that which is acceptable for Shechita is unacceptable for Malika, and that which is acceptable for Malika is unacceptable for Shechita. The topic heading that we've assigned to this piece of Gemara reads, on the outside margin, under the Nosei, Mahu Mikumo Shel HaOref Dekratoni B'Masnisin. What is the position of Oref that the Mishnah speaks about? My Oref, I Leimo Oref Mamish. The term Oref Mamish means the part of the head that is facing the face, or is opposite the face. So if that's what Oref means, that one would, in the Malika would be done by inserting the fingernail at the back of the head, namely the point of the head that's opposite the face, and you're going to tell me that that's not good for Shechita, my area Shechita, why teach only about Shechita being unacceptable? Afilu molek nami, even Malika done at that point would be unacceptable. Mimul orpo amrachmona, the Torah says, mimul orpo, velo orpoi. Mimul means something that's facing the oref. The term mimul orpo is what's used in the Torah when discussing Malika. Ela my oref. So what does the word oref of the Mishnah mean? Mimul oref. And of course conforming to the pasuk. So mimul oref would mean, first you have to define note the spot that's opposite the face of the creature, and then move down a bit so that the point at which you are now located is facing the oref. It's a slightly lower down, so if you're at that point, you're then facing that which is just above a bit. Kidiktoni seifa, as the seifa implies, kol ha'oref kosher malika. The word kol indicates some large area, that all of the oref. And Rashi points out that if oref in the Mishnah were a reference to the spot that's opposite the face, that's a very small location, and hence the term kol, the whole oref, would be inappropriate. Therefore the Mishnah itself implies that oref means the part of the body that's under the oref mamish. In other words, we're talking about what we would call the neck and not the back of the head. What is the basis of this analysis? So we have a Tanaic source featuring our pasuk from Vayikra, hey, mimul or po. And what does that mean? Mul haroya es haoref. A spot that's facing, or like the word haroya literally means sees, the oref. The pasuk then says mimul orpo, and not the oref mamish. V'cheinu omer v'hu yoshev mimuli. The pasuk says, and he is sitting mimuli, opposite me. V'omer ki ponu elai oref v'lo ponim. As far as the role of this second pasuk quoted here, that the Gemara now deals with. My v'omer. What's the purpose of this second pasuk? Before going on, we just to clarify, the first pasuk quote here, v'hu yoshev mimuli, you see, when the word mul appears, it means facing something. And it can't mean literally on top of, otherwise what would it mean? V'hu yoshev mimuli, he's sitting on top of me? No. V'hu yoshev mimuli means he's sitting opposite me. Hence, when you see the word mimul orpo, I understand that it's something facing the oref. The question we're dealing with now is, what do I need the second pasuk for? The Gemara will answer, very nice, I understand, I'm facing the oref, but what is the oref? How am I to know what the oref is? We'll say it's an uncommon word, and it itself needs to be defined. So the Gemara asks, my v'omer, what do I need the second pasuk for? Answer, v'chitema oref gufe lo yadinon hecha deneida mul dide hecha. You might say, listen, the oref itself, I don't know where it is in order for me to know what does mul oref refer to. Therefore, toshma ki ponu elai oref lo ponim. The word oref is used in contrast with ponim. Michlal the Oref Lahadi Ponim. It must be that Oref is something that's opposite the face. So what have we established? That Oref itself is opposite the face of the creature. Now, where does Malika take place? Mul Orpo, a spot on the animal that's facing the Oref. So it would be on the neck, namely at a spot that's below the back of the head. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, mitzvas malika machsir simonim lachorei ha'oref u'molek. The commandment of malika involves pulling the neck organs till behind the head, and then doing the malika. It's important to note physiologically that the neck organs, the trachea and esophagus, are somewhat flexible, to the extent that if you insert your fingers into the neck or the throat of the animal from the outside, you can maneuver the neck organs to a point at which you bring them or move them around to the back of the neck. So they're saying that mitzvah malika involves doing that. Now, what is their intent? So there are two approaches now, and we've labeled them Aleph and Beis. Ika diamri af machsir. One approach says that even that would be okay. And the Ika diamri, another approach says machsir dafka, that you have to do it that way. Until we encountered this approach of the B'nai Rabbi Chiya, we were understanding that malika was a process where you insert the fingernail into the spine of the bird, the back of the neck where you find the spine, and you insert the fingernail, and eventually it will reach the neck organs. The B'nai Rabbi Chiya are introducing a situation where the neck organs, the trachea and esophagus, are twisted to the back of the neck, and at that point you then insert your fingernail. So you'll in effect be cutting the neck organs first. The two approaches here say that what they are talking about is also a possibility. In other words, it's not necessary. Af machsir means that's also a possibility. The mitzvah is to do malika on the spine until you get to the simonim, but if you happen to twist the simonim to the back, that also would be okay. The second approach says that that's the only way to do it, and if you don't do it, and you in fact cut the spine first, that will be unacceptable. Umistabro, the Gemara now points out that it's more likely like the first approach. Umistabro kemado amar af machsir. It's most likely that that's the approach to accept. Mimai, how do you know that that's the case? And let's go over this last point, that it's most likely that af machsir is the approach, meaning that the best way to do it, the preferable way to do it, is without twisting the neck organs to the back, but rather inserting the fingernail initially into the spine, and later it reaches the neck organs. That is the more likely approach. That the Aleph approach, that af machsir. And how do I know that? Midiktoni, because it says in the Mishnah, Hashochit min ha'oref, one who does shechita from the back of the neck, shechitaso psula, hamolek min ha'oref milukaso ksheira. And if you do malika from the back of the neck, it's good. Now, the e salka daitoch machsir dafka, if you were to think that the interpretation of malika is specifically or only by twisting the neck organs to the back of the neck, then my iria molek, why teach me about molek being kosher? Afilu shochet nami, even shechita under those circumstances where the knife cuts first the neck organs, even if they happen to be twisted to the back of the neck, but the first thing that's being cut is the neck organs, the trachea esophagus, the shechita would also be kosher. So why does the Mishnah say that only malika is kosher from the oref and not shechita? Elolav, shma mino af machsir. So rather it must be that the B'nai Rabbi Chiya are teaching that even twisting the neck organs to the back of the neck would be okay. Umasnisin, the Mishnah that makes a distinction between Shochet and Molek, the Mishnah is speaking about a case where there was no twisting, but the low ahader, there was no twisting of neck organs to the back, and therefore, if you're going to talk about the back of the neck being cut, we'll say only in a Malika form would it be okay, and not in the Shechita form, because the Shechita would not be acceptable if the first thing that's being cut is the spine. The Gemara will continue referring to what the B'nai Rebbe Chiya say. That's Rabbi Yanai's response. But as far as we are concerned, at this point, we will at this point conclude our shiur for today.